Job chapter 33. Book of Job chapter 33. Verse 14, for God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon man, in slumberings upon the bed. Then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. Verse 23, if there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Verse 27. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned, and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man. Now look back at verse 24, which we have read. Then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. The subject on my mind this evening is the subject of deliverance that is brought up in this chapter from which we have read. Deliverance is the greatest need that man has. And I want you to, in the light of what we have been hearing already this evening, and in the light of the passage that we have been reading, consider with me for a moment the requirement of deliverance. After all, in this chapter, once again, man is pictured as going down. I do want to remind those that are in the meeting this evening briefly, but I do trust solemnly that as God looks upon man, as God views your present condition in the meeting tonight, what is of uppermost concern in the heart of God is this great reality. You are traveling down. I remember one time hearing the story of how a man was saved, attending gospel meetings, and really very little concerned about his soul's salvation until one night he had a dream. And in his dream, all he dreamed was that the preacher was standing at the foot of his bed. And the preacher was one of these men that puts heart and soul into the preaching. And his finger was going as the man always did when he preached. And all that he was saying as he preached from the foot of that man's bed was this. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. And as that man lay upon his bed, the preacher kept up his very brief text and pounded home the truth of it. God used that when nothing else seemed to have awakened him. It dawned upon him as he awoke from his sleep that night that God was speaking to him. And God was impressing upon him the solemn reality, you are traveling downward. Dear soul in the meeting tonight, if I cannot get anything further across to you in the meeting, in my portion of it this evening, let me impress upon your heart tonight, in spite of the fact that you go to Sunday school if you're younger, in spite of the fact you may have your name on church rolls, in spite of the fact that your name has been mentioned every time there has been a prayer meeting in the gospel series presently, in spite of that fact tonight, you are going down. You are traveling downward to the pit, and the great possibility is this. You are in danger at any moment of slipping from life into eternity. How solemn are the words of the psalmist in Psalm 73 when he says, thou hast set them in slippery places. When I was teaching I was interested one day to go to the school library to find a copy of a sermon that I had read excerpts from when I was in 12th grade in English class. The survey of American literature back in those days included something about Jonathan Edwards' classic message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. I wanted to go back to get a look at the full transcript of that message. I read it transfixed. That man, Jonathan Edwards, when he preached to a building that was filled, including the galleries up in the back, he simply read his message. But as he read those words, it's no wonder that the people clung to the pillars in the church for fear they would drop into hell. As he spoke about men being set in slippery places, said the great preacher, the arrows of God fly unseen at noonday. Men, said he, are walking over the cover of hell as a rotten covering. At any moment that souls may drop out of life and drop into the pit for all eternity. Dear soul, tonight, it's bad enough to be going down. Sometimes we use the chart Two Roads and Two Destinies, which for all its value fails to convey this solemn reality. It is not only the fact that you are traveling down, and at the end, away along somewhere at the end of the road, there is that place called hell. I want to tell you tonight that at any moment, you could slip off the side of the road unexpectedly. And the danger is this, your soul would be in the pit forever. From the prayers of loved ones, in one moment before the nearest and dearest could reach your body, your soul would have taken its immediate voyage to the blackness of eternal fire. Oh, I do not understand. Why is it? Why is it we preach so calmly? And why is it that men listen so calmly when they are living every moment but one breath away from the pit? Dear soul, do you not realize tonight it is absolutely essential? There is nothing in all the world more important than this, than knowing that that soul of yours will never awaken when it is too late. Awaken in the pit for eternity. The requirement of deliverance is simply underlined by this man's difficulty as he is traveling downward in danger of going into the pit at any moment, is that his sins are taking him there. Sometimes I wonder, when we try to be as simple and plain as we can with the gospel, how it is that so many miss the point. You see, God's dealings with men is to bring them to this point of recognizing their sin. You could never be delivered if your sins were not removed. You could never be delivered from the danger in which you are at the present moment as long as there is one sin upon the record of God in heaven. Oh, that men might realize tonight, every moment you live, you are adding to the burden of sin. Every moment you live, you are adding to your own weight that will eternally bury you in the judgment of God. At any moment to slip over, and the weight of your sins to carry your soul into the pit. It is man's sins that are the great difficulty. Man needs deliverance because of his sins. Thank God tonight we can tell you of the resource of deliverance. There's deliverance all right tonight. And that deliverance comes from God. Thank God tonight, God can deliver. It was mentioned in prayer before the meeting tonight, a thought that often comes to my mind in preaching the gospel. that it could be there is some soul that will be sitting in the gospel meeting tonight that would like to have salvation and wonders if after all it's possible that they really could be saved. I wonder, is there someone in the meeting tonight and you wonder if after all it would be possible for you to leave the meeting tonight saved, delivered from going down to hell? I have got the best news you have ever heard. God could deliver you in the meeting tonight. The preachers can't do it, and the Christians, for all their praying and love for you and desire that it might be, they cannot do it either. And I have got other news for you. You can't do it either. All the prayers that you may pray to God tonight would never save you, would never deliver you from going down to the pit. All the tears that might flow would never, not only would they never deliver you, they would never contribute to your deliverance. All your anguish of heart and all your emotional upheaval and 10,000 other things notwithstanding, you cannot deliver yourself from going down to the pit, but bless God, God can deliver you, and God can deliver you tonight. And I want to tell you more than that, that God longs to deliver you. If God had His way in this meeting tonight, not one soul would leave the meeting on the way to the pit. He will have all men to be saved. He is long-suffering to all, not willing that any should perish. Dear soul, this evening, could I convey to you once again something of the heart of the infinite? God longs to bless you. There is a God that has followed you every moment of your life. There's a God whose voice has found you sometimes in the most remote places. There's a God that has touched you in ways you never thought He would. And He is speaking to your heart tonight because God longs to deliver you as you're sitting in the gospel meeting this evening. Thank God that we are on the side of a God who longs to save sinners. And not only that, I want to remind you tonight that it is God alone that brings deliverance to the sinner. All the understanding of men, all the efforts of men, all the sincerity of men does not bring deliverance. Deliverance must come by the word of God. Listen. Then He is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him. Deliverance comes by the word of God. You remember that man Jonah when he was in the belly of the great fish? And there came a moment when Jonah finally cried out in the midst of his distress. Salvation, deliverance. Salvation is from the Lord. Dear soul tonight, I would love to be able to direct your attention away from yourself. I would love to be able tonight to direct your attention to the only resource of deliverance for that perishing soul of yours. Deliver him. It's God that speaks. It is God alone that can deliver the perishing soul. The reason for deliverance, let me emphasize to you tonight the blessed truth that thrills my heart. Then He is gracious unto him. My, the picture of the chapter is this. Man is willfully going on down to the pit. Man is blindly going on down to the pit. If God let you go, dear soul, you would make your way without turning your head until the eventuality you would be in the pit forever. That's just the way man is going on without God. That's just the way you are by nature as you stand in the meeting tonight before a holy God. You are tonight going on and would go on uninterrupted down to the pit. And God all the time is pulling back, drawing man back from the pit. You know, sometimes I have thought, as I have sometimes, for example, in the summer, pitched a gospel tent, I put the canvas up there on the side of the road, and I watch the cars rolling down the road, and the people look at it, and they look away, or they look at it and roll down the window, and they see foolish things. And you know what I think? I marvel that that's not the way I lived. Because I really am quite convinced that if I were brought up in circumstances like they were brought up, I would never have bothered to go into a gospel tent. I would probably never have listened to someone telling me, a friend telling me, that they were saved and sure of being in heaven. I've come to the conclusion, if I can put it this way, that if God hadn't put me in a Christian home, I would never have been drawn back from going down to the pit. God had to surround me at every turn and fill my mind from infancy with divine truths and bring circumstances into my life that were definitely voices from God. If God had not done that, I would have gone headlong, willfully, down to the pit. There are some of you in the meeting tonight, and I want to tell you, God has unmistakably spoken to you. God has brought unique circumstances into your life. It is God drawing you back from going down to the pit. And the great tragedy is this: to the present moment, you have gone on without heeding the voice of God. Dear soul, what will it take for the Almighty to draw you back from your hell-bent determination? God longing to draw men back. And they continue on their downward course. When the moment finally comes that the sinner comes to his senses and stops, that's what I want to remind you tonight. It is only the grace of God that saves them. God never owed me to speak to me once. Brought up in a Christian home notwithstanding, God never owed me the first occasion when He spoke to me. And God certainly never owed me the second and the third and the fourth, and I don't know how many times He spoke to me. God never owed me one. And there are some in the meeting tonight, and you are taking for granted that God should speak to you. And worse than that, you're taking for granted that God will always speak to you. Then He is gracious. The fact that God has spoken is an evidence of His grace. But if you still His call refuse and all His wondrous love abuse, soon, sadly, He will from you turn your bitter plea for mercy spurn. Too late will be the cry. Jesus of Nazareth has passed by. He is gracious tonight. He longs to deliver you by His grace. Oh, dear soul, can you turn away your heart from the God who longs to graciously bend beside you and to hear your cry for mercy? Oh, that there might be some heart in the meeting tonight, broken by the grace of God to them, that will come to acknowledge if He looketh upon him, and if he say, I have sinned. This is what God is interested in. Is there a soul in the meeting tonight that is willing to enter their plea in the presence of God? It's like a girl we were preaching to one time, and she finally said, If I admitted that, then I'm afraid God wouldn't save me. She was afraid that if she couldn't give God any plea, then God would pass her by. And what she did not know was she was standing in the way of her own blessing. Dear soul, tonight when a man comes to God and says, Oh God, I have sinned. I don't mean from the mouth out. When a man comes to God and recognizes the fact that he is a sinner and has sinned before God, what he is telling God is this: God, I have no plea to enter. There is absolutely no reason why thou shouldst deliver me. Oh God, if thou dost give me what is right, I will go down to the pit forever. I stand. I am relinquishing any claim to blessing. Then He is gracious. When you're willing to admit that there is absolutely no reason why God should save you, The grace of God has a remedy for you. Thank God tonight. Then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him. My, wouldn't that be wonderful if heaven spoke that word tonight for some boy in a meeting? Deliver him. Wouldn't it be wonderful, dear soul, if God spoke some deliverance, this word from heaven, for some girl in the meeting, or for some older person, it may be tottering on the very brink at the end of life. My, what a miracle of divine grace it would be if heaven said, deliver him from going down to the pit. Wouldn't it be wonderful if it was you? And heaven's word was, deliver him. I'm glad, my, I praise God tonight for the moment when heaven said, deliver David Oliver from going down to the pit. God will say, deliver him from going down to the pit for one reason and one alone. I have found the ransom. Ah, thank God tonight we can proclaim to you freely a ransom that heaven itself has found, a remedy provided by God. Thank God this evening, dear soul, there is a Savior that came from heaven, and his own words were these. The Son of Man came not to minister or to serve, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Thank God that when he went to Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ was giving his life a ransom. We have been reminded already in these meetings of the glorious truth. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Why, I love to think that this book that tells us, I have found a ransom, is perhaps the first book of all the Bible to be written. Calvary was no afterthought with God. If God is ever going to move in blessing toward man, God must find a ransom. And before ever pen was taken in hand to record revelation from God, God says, I have found a ransom. I have made provision in the Christ that will come. Thank God tonight, God fully anticipated not only the need of a world of sinners. I am thankful to God, I can tell you, that God fully anticipated all of my need. Before there was a world, God knew all my sins, and God fully anticipated my need. God had a ransom in mind, in his own blessed Son. Thank God for the payment. When Calvary dawned, what a moment is this? It is the moment when for which all of history has been looking. All of God's dealings in all the ages past have been moving to this grand moment, Calvary. I have found a ransom. He laid on him the sinner's guilt when came the appointed day, and by that blood on Calvary spilt, took all my sins away. Oh, the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it cleanseth from all sin. Dear soul tonight, look away yonder to God's provision for man. God has found full payment in the death of Christ. A ransom sufficient for all is found in that life that was given at Calvary. That I might be delivered from my sins, the great price was paid in drops of precious blood. That we might proclaim to men and women deliverance tonight from sin. God says, I have found a ransom. So infinite is the value of that life laid down at Calvary. That there is enough in the death of Christ to save every sin-stained sinner. In the meeting tonight, in Vancouver, on this continent, and around the wide world, such is the value of that death. A life poured out, a ransom for all. And thank God the great truth is this. That ransom price is sufficient for God. I have found. You wouldn't mind if it said, deliver him from going down to the pit because he has found a ransom. That's the way most people think about salvation. It all depends on what I discover. It all depends upon what I find. It all depends on if I find a remedy for my sins. Listen, it's the same great truth from Exodus chapter 12. God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I am satisfied, I will provide safety from judgment. Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. If you were to go down to the pit eternally, it would not, because God did not have sufficient in the death of Christ to save you. We can tell you tonight before the meeting closes that what the Lord Jesus Christ did at Calvary, God has said is enough to meet your need where you're sitting in the meeting tonight. Dear soul, why will you go one step further? Why not come and enter your plea simply as a guilty sinner and acknowledge to God there is absolutely no reason for blessing for you, no right to salvation, deserving only the judgment of his eternal fire to go down to the pit forever. But see tonight what God has found. God has found the ransom, and he is sending his word to you tonight. God grant it may be so, that heaven will speak of someone in the meeting tonight. Deliver him from going down to the pit. Calvary is enough. I have found a ransom. Let us pray. Our Father, we have visited two worlds tonight. A world where men will go without a remedy. It is a world that is not very far from some that are in our meeting tonight, going on unheeding of the voice of God. Oh, Father, we pray there may be souls awakened to these realities. When we are reminded of them, as we have been tonight, we are overwhelmed that from our side there are souls slipping into this dread land where there is no remedy for their sins eternally. We have been taken to Calvary. Father, we do bless thee tonight. Calvary is not far away from sinners. The word is nigh thee. The remedy is available. The ransom has been fully paid. And we thank thee tonight there is a ransom that has satisfied every claim of an infinitely holy God. And we thank thee for the privilege of proclaiming this salvation to men in the meeting tonight. In our heart there is a deep longing, Lord, that every soul with us tonight might come to know the Savior. And at its very best it is but a reflection of thine. We commend the gospel then to thee. Ask thy richest blessing upon it. When we see the hall so well filled tonight, so many with us who are going down to the pit, our Father, we lift our hearts to thee with deepest longing and prayer, and ask that thou wilt bless thy word, that none from our gathering tonight will ever know what it is to wake up on that other shore and find no remedy for all eternity. We commit thy word to thee and pray thy parting blessing. We ask that thou wilt use even the singing of a final hymn for thy glory, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please. 120. The Lamb of God for sinners died, a victim on the tree. He gave himself a sacrifice to set the guilty free. Hymn number 120. And let us sing verses 2 and 3 together in the close.